Thank you, Ms. Bigley, for that good music. We appreciate that. Now, if you will, please turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 2. The Gospel of Luke, chapter number 2. And I want to read for your hearing verses 41 through 51. Luke, chapter 2, verses 41 through 51. Verse 41 begins, "Now his parents," referring to Joseph and Mary. "Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover." Every year to the feast of the Passover. "And when he," speaking of the Lord Jesus, "was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, 'Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father.'" Now somebody should have clued her in right there. "Thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. He said unto them, 'How is it that you sought me? Wished you not that I must be about my father's business?' And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart." I want to close in on verses 44 and 45. You cannot read this enough. "But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him." I want to speak, dear church, to you today on the subject of losing sight of Jesus. Losing sight of Jesus. What a precious treasure this young child must have been to Mary and Joseph. He was special. He was very special. And they knew it not. He was born to Mary in a miraculous manner, the product of conception by the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ had no earthly father. It made him a very special 12-year-old boy. The angel had told Joseph that this child would be the Savior of his people. "His name shall be called Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins." Very special. When Jesus was presented to God in the temple as a baby, there was an old man that was always in the temple. His name was Simeon. And Simeon had this to say in the second chapter of Luke, verses 25 through 33 in my Bible. You just turn over one page going in the reverse direction. In Luke chapter 2, verses 25 and 33. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. Waiting for the consolation of Israel means he was waiting for the appearance of the Messiah. He had heard that God had promised a Messiah. And through the years, he looked every day for the coming of that Messiah. And he would go to the temple. He wanted to be in the temple when the Messiah came. Reading on in verse 26. It was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. He'd waited his entire life for it. And he came by the Spirit into the temple when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, now this little baby, Jesus Christ, in the arms of this old man Simeon. And Simeon says, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace. I'm ready to die now. According to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. This was not an ordinary 12-year-old boy. When they came to the feast of the Passover, he was very, very special. Nobody like him in all of the world. You also read what Anna the prophetess said about him in that same second of Luke, verses 36 through 38. There was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age. She too was an old person. And had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. She was a widow of about 84 years, about 85 years of age, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spoke of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. When he was born, even King Herod put out a death contract on him out of jealousy. He realized he was a very special child. Now, I tell you these things to demonstrate the traumatic experience it must have been when Mary and Joseph lost sight of this holy child. He vanished, and they could not find him. Look again at our text in verses 44 through 45. But they, don't you love that word, suppose? They didn't know squat. Are you listening to your preacher? They just had some opinions. They just kind of figured out. Mother is asked, honey, where's your daughter? Oh, I don't know. She's probably out in the backyard playing somewhere. You better be a little bit more precise than that. You need to know where your kids are. Huh? Need to know where you don't suppose about it. Usually about 90% of your supposition's wrong anyway. They'll never be where you think they are. They're always somewhere. Many times they don't need to be. But they supposing him to have been in the company, they thought he's there all the time. And they were with their kinfolks. And the kinfolks said, well, where's Jesus? He's not around here. Oh, well, he's playing with some kids a little bit further on down the line there. He's with us. Haven't seen him in a while, but he's here. And they just suppose he'd be there. And they went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintance. I noticed it was those related to him who lost sight of him. It was those who were related to him that lost sight of him. We could expect the Pharisees to lose sight of him and the Sadducees to lose sight of him. We can expect Judas Iscariot to lose sight of him. But here are Jesus' parents losing sight of this invaluable gift of God, his only begotten Son. Those related to him were those who lost sight of him. And they lost sight of him for 4 days. You see, the scripture says for 3 days before they found him, but they had to stop on their journey and turn around and go back another day's journey. They'd gotten out of town a whole day's journey without him. He wasn't there, folk. And they didn't know where he was. Christians are related to him. We are the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. If any human being knows Christ today, it ought to be the child of God. It ought to be the believer. It ought to be the Christian. We can expect the world to lose sight of him. They lost sight of him a long time ago. But how many believers have lost sight of him for weeks and months and even years? Now this message is not for you primarily. Primarily it's for me. Because I think preachers perhaps lead the list on this sin of losing sight of Christ. But don't feel too good about that. I do want you to get a piece of it this morning, all right? How long has it been since some of us have not fellowshiped with him and enjoyed his presence? Oh, I didn't say go to church. No, when's the last time you had some real good, close, intimate fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Losing sight of Jesus can easily happen. It can easily happen. You can lose sight of Jesus. I can lose sight of him. Notice why Mary and Joseph lost sight of him. How is it that they missed him? Number one, because of harmless preoccupation. Because of harmless preoccupation. Look at verse number 43. And when they, Joseph and Mary, had fulfilled the days. Now, another way to say that is they filled their days full. They were so busy fulfilling their days that they didn't have time to notice he wasn't there. You and I can fill our days so full that we'll not miss His presence. Christmas is a good example of this. How easy is it to begin formulating a list of people you're going to send cards to? And then the gifts are so important. Who's going to get what? And where am I going to find what I'm looking for? I want them to have this. And not only that, but the hustle and bustle of the cars and going to the shopping areas and the singing of the carols and getting all gummed up and miss Him completely. Where were Mary and Joseph? They were not engaged in riotous living. They were not drunk and they were not partying. They were engaged, my dear friends, in a harmless preoccupation. I believe that sometimes the occupation of a home keeps you from seeing Jesus. The occupation of a home. One can spend so much time around home that he has no time for Christ. Because you've always got something needs doing at home. Right now, it could be that in your brain cell somewhere, you're thinking, you put it on a back burner, but you know it's still there. I got to get that done at the house pretty soon now. And get so involved in preoccupation in the home that we lose sight of Him. Say, how can that happen? Let me read it for you. In Luke chapter 10, turn over to it. Same book, just a few pages over. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 and following. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village. The timing of this passage, he is an adult now, no longer a 12-year-old child. Came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Later on, you'd find out that there was a good friendship there between Mary and Martha and Lazarus, their brother. But Martha's the one that received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet, and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her that she comes and help me. I've burned the beans, the biscuits are ruined, and I need some help. She lives here also, but she's out there with you. I need her in here to help me. She was cumbered about. Cumbered about. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha. You know, a lot of times when God speaks, He speaks to us by using our names twice. Reason is we don't hear Him the first time. We're too busy to even hear Him speak. He has to call us again. Martha, Martha. Thou art careful and troubled about many things. You are worrying yourself to death, woman. One thing is needful. In other words, there's one thing that has greater priority than what you're doing. And Mary hath chosen that good part. Now, what was the sin of Martha? Is it wrong to cook? It certainly is not wrong to cook. But don't get so married to cooking, my dear friends, that you forget the bread of life and lose sight of Him. Mary chose the better part. She said, you go ahead with the meal. I'd just rather sit at the feet of my Savior and listen to Him teach. Folk, it's a terrible thing to lose sight of Jesus Christ. Then there's the occupation of the job. I believe maybe we're busier today, job-wise, than we've ever been. How many today have allowed their jobs to crowd Christ out? There's nothing wrong with a job. A man that will not work ought not to eat. I know that. But if we're not careful, there are so many demands that come to you and come to me on our jobs that we get all engulfed by it. We don't have time for Him to even think about Him. Then there's the occupation of the church. Notice it was a religious occasion that caused Mary and Joseph to miss Jesus. They went down to Jerusalem, to the temple, to worship. And they missed Christ. They missed Him. We can become so involved with the program that we forget the person. Is that possible? Huh? We don't lose sight of Him at a funeral, but we have an occasion to lose sight of Him at a feast. At a funeral is a time when we are called to be self-introspective and find out what's missing in our lives. And sometimes we do our most serious thinking when we're looking into the face of a loved one. And we think about the Lord. We think about His Word. We think about Jesus Christ. Usually, when we're having a feast, the only thing we're thinking about is getting to the pie before anybody else does. Huh? Not only because of a harmless preoccupation did they miss Him, but because of careless presupposition. It seemed, they figured, that this may be where He is. They thought He was present when He was absent. We're to never take Jesus Christ for granted. We're never to presume He is present. We must know whether He's present or not. And that will not happen if your church attendance has become a casual thing with you. Just kind of casual. Church, do you realize that we're the most fortunate people in the world to have the privilege of coming into the presence of God Almighty in His Son, Jesus Christ, to worship Him and to sing praises to Him and to glorify Him and to fellowship with Him? And a church can forget that, especially on Easter Sunday. Whether your dress came from Kmart or not. Huh? Huh? I don't know. They went a day's journey before they missed Him. Did you hear that? They traveled a whole day before they missed Him. Careless presupposition. No fellowship for 12 hours before they missed Him. It's quite possible that some churches have been operating years without Him and they haven't missed Him yet. Number two, they were seriously hindered. They were seriously hindered. It retarded their progress. there in verses 45 and 46. Everything came to a standstill until they found Christ. They lost 3 whole days of journey. They were 3 days further behind because they lost sight of Him. And some of us are years behind in spiritual maturity because we've lost sight of Him. Are you there this morning? Are you listening? I wish the other members had come today, don't you? Israel lost sight of God, and God withdrew His presence and power from their lives for 40 years until a whole generation died off. All they could think about was down in Canaan. There were giants, and you couldn't take the city, and God had told them to take it, and they didn't feel like they could, and because of their unbelief, they lost sight for 40 years until a whole generation died off that lost sight of Him. It resulted in sadness. Look at verse number 48. It resulted in sadness. And when they saw Him, they were amazed, and His mother said unto Him, now, I'm trying not to read something in the Scripture that isn't there. I think she may got a little irritated with Him. What do you think about that? Huh? Son, why have you thus dealt with us? Behold, your father and I have sought thee. Sorry, you put us through a whole lot of trouble, boy. Who are you talking to? Who are you talking to? Who put who to trouble? Who put Him on the cross? Talk about trouble. It resulted in sadness. Their hearts were heavy until they found Him. And yours will be too, and so will mine. Bartimaeus was a very blind man, but in addition to that, he was a very unhappy man because all he had ever known is his family would take him to the roadside. He could beg money from the people who passed by. And one day Christ came to him. And his joy bells began to ring because he got a sight of the Lord Jesus Christ. It can happen to Christians, huh? David lost sight of the Lord, and he prayed that God would give him back the joy of thy salvation, did he not? He got his eyes off the Lord when he put his eyes on Bathsheba. Huh? Are you there? It can be painfully humiliating. It must have been embarrassing for Mary and Joseph to admit to their kindred that they had lost sight of Jesus. It might be embarrassing for some of us who are leaders in this church to tell how long it's been since we've seen Him. Where did they find Him? You lost Him. Now, where do you find Him? Number one, in the temple. Where do you suppose you'd find Him? In the temple, verse number 46. Came to pass that after 3 days they found Him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. I believe that this is my opinion, which doesn't really weigh any more than your opinion, but it gives us something to think about. I believe that more people are saved in a church service than in any other place. I know the Bible talks about some people who were saved in the garden there in Eden, and they talk about Zacchaeus who was saved up in a tree, and they talk about Paul is saved on the highway. But in my experience, I have seen people coming to know the Lord more in a church service. Folk, listen to me. Don't ever discount the importance of your church. Don't ever get so glued up in numbers that you think, oh, we've got to have this number in order for God to bless. God doesn't need us. And when you and I come to the house of the Lord, my dear friends, it's to find Him, it's to see Him, it's to hear from Him. They found Him in the temple. Not only did they find Him in the temple, but they found Him enjoying the truth of God. He was talking with the doctors and the lawyers, and he was asking them questions. And he wasn't getting any good answers, so they started asking him questions, and he told them what it was. It was his answer to them, not their answer to him, that enlightened him. They let him know what little they knew. Some of us have lost sight of Him because we no longer study the Bible. It is there that we gain sight of Jesus Christ. I never read my Bible that I don't see Jesus Christ in it. Doesn't make any difference whether it's Genesis, whether it's the book of Revelation. Jesus Christ is the theme of this book. And you can't read your Bible without getting a vision of Him and seeing Him. And thirdly, he was performing the will of God. Verse number 49. Here he straightens them out on the Father business. He said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Did you not know I must be about my Father's business? And his Father was not a carpenter. His Father is the sovereign God of glory, the Father that sent Him into the world to die for the sins of His people. I must be about my Father's business. We conclude very quickly in verse 51, the first part of it. It says, and they went down with them. He went down with them. I love it. He went down with them. And they came to Nazareth. And He was subject unto them. But His mother kept all these sayings in her heart. This time, they started back with Him. First time, they were on the journey without Him. They went back. They found Him. This time, He was with them. This time, they started back with Him. They had their burden relieved. They didn't have to worry about it anymore. He was there. They knew He was there. Number two, they could make the journey better with Him than without Him. Number three, they were much wiser. They would never take His presence for granted again. And number four, they arrived at their destination with Him. God help us to see, dear church. God help this preacher to see. God help the leadership of this church. Whether you're a Sunday school teacher, whether you serve on the advisory council, whatever type of work you do in service for God you render in this church, my dear friend, you remember this. Jesus Christ is the most important in all the world. And if we don't see Him, we stop growing, we stop developing, we do nothing. Don't lose sight of Christ. Let's stand, please, for prayer.